This morning I was sharing about legacy. And it was a great time. If you are married, who of you are married here? Great, you're in the wrong service. Sorry. That was this morning, but it's great to have you here. You can get the tape or the CD or whatever you get these days, MP3s. This evening is a bit different to legacy. I'm not so much going to speak about parenting, but I would like to share just the central thought that I started off with. You know, it's amazing God's heart. Pastor Fred was speaking about Malachi 2 and the fact that God has an expectation of a godly offspring. And a couple of weeks ago, I shared around a similar theme. And the very fact is that God has an expectation to see what He has imparted into us to be multiplied and to be duplicated and to be filled without and throughout the world. I mean, right through creation, we see when God created everything and after He finished everything, He decided He's going to make something different, something unique to everything to be the cherry on the cake. And that was humanity. And God created man uniquely different to the rest of creation in that He imparted of His likeness and His image into man. And that really excited God, and He said, I'm going to bless this. And He blessed man and He said, I want you to go and multiply that what you've received from me, this image and likeness of me. I want you to go and multiply, procreate, fill the earth with that that I have imparted into you. And we see right throughout history how God has a desire to see that what is imparted in us multiplied. We know how sin came and distorted that image and likeness, and how Christ came to set us free and to restore that image and likeness. As we are now born again, a new creation, we become again children of God with the Spirit of God, and we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. And then we see the Great Commission where God says, now that you have received everything that I've taught you, I want you to go and multiply, make disciples. The Great Commission is not so much about the going as it is about the making of disciples. Discipleship is a deliberate process of investing yourself into somebody else. And that is the great adventure in which we are called, not so much to go, but to make disciples, to duplicate ourselves, to take what we have received from God and invest it in others that they too can become children of God. I mean, how awesome God calls Himself our Father. We are His children. That speaks about legacy. I mean, just the concept of Christ coming into the world as the only begotten Son. And then we read in Romans 8 that the purpose of Christ coming into the world as the only begotten Son, that He may become the firstborn of many brethren. God has a desire to see legacy, the multiplication of what He has imparted into you and me. And one day we will give an account. That is what the Great Commission is all about. Teach them everything that I have given you. And one day we're going to stand before God, and God's going to ask us about the things that He's invested in our lives. To whom did we impart it to? That is the Great Commission. Your legacy is the lives that you invest yourself into. The people that you impart what you have received. But if you want to hear more about that, that was this morning. I brought my kids. Where are they? They're running. Okay, they're coming. While they're coming, this evening is similar. They're running back again to mom. This way, kom Daniel. Okay, waar is die kleintjie? Oh, she's sleeping already. Okay. Say hello for the mense. Kom, sit by my. We're going to watch a little video clip. Tonight's sermon is about finding your life partner. Here we go.
And now, here are the featured singles of the week on eDesperate.com.
Hello, ladies. If you're looking for a man who is hairy macho, have I luck for you. And his name is Vlad. I am super hunk of man who has many things to offer fine lady, job, home, pool, and many fine speedos. With such long time between showers, my man smell very powerful for you. So, a click on contact, I am ready speedy quick for wife to be cooking, cleaning, in no time flat. No time flat.
Hi, my name's Caitlin, and I'm looking for a relationship because my stupid loser boyfriend Jeremy broke up with me. I'm totally fun and not at all bossy or controlling. Jeremy was so wrong about that. I'm super sweet and fun and not at all a bitter, angry troll. So call me or click or whatever and whenever. Because I'm spontaneous, and I'm totally carefree. And we are going to have more unplanned fun than Jeremy could have ever imagined with a devil woman who sucks his very life force. You hear that, Jeremy? I'm going to have fun. I am carefree. I'm going to have a blast. More fun than you could ever dream of.
Greetings, female members of the species. I go by many names, but in this universe, I'm referred to as Steve. My hobbies, you ask? You know, just small things like slaying dragons, creating and destroying worlds, and saving the universe from disease zombie hordes. Yeah, I'm kind of a big deal in cyberspace, and there are a lot of chicks that are hot for me in various planes of alternate reality. For example, Quest Girl 142, Sheena, the 12th level warrior goddess from the ancient world of Tigrithia, and various other hotties that are way too numerous to count. And so, I, the Golden Paladin, would like to offer up my allegiance to you, m'lady. And, hopefully you have a car.
Steve, have you even showered yet?
Mom, I told you I was making a video!
Check back tomorrow for more ever-available singles on eDesperate.com.
Okay, one day my little girl is going to grow up and she's going to look for a life partner. And this evening is really about telling you guys what I were going to tell them. The message that I would like to share with you this evening is not something that I am necessarily going to share with you in weeks or months from now. This is really something that I was thinking about. What am I going to share with my little girls as they grow up? And why I say that is sometimes, you know, the things that I am going to say tonight about dating and finding a life partner, I'm specifically thinking about my girl. What are the things that I'm going to tell her as she grows up that I might not tell you? So tonight when I share about things, please take it in that context. I'm sharing with my girls. Sometimes it's quite difficult to share with others once they're already engaged. You know, you can't tell them what to do and what not to do. So I'm going to tell it to you before you get engaged. And I know there are exceptions. As I share many of these things, I know there are exceptions. And I know some of you are probably the exceptions sitting right here. But you are not the exception that's going to marry my girl. But I'm going to share it anyway. So I hope you can forgive me for being very straight and very honest. Bye, Donkey Daniel.
Hello.
Say,
mama. Geef haar handjie klap, Donk.
One day Danielle is going to grow up and the things that I impart into her life is the things that are going to continue. She is going to be my legacy more than anything else that I do or say. But it's the things, the words, and the example more specifically that I impart into her life that is going to continue. And there's something not much more significant than the relationship between me and my daughter. And that is the marriage partner, the marriage in itself that she is going to have one day. You know what? The divorce rate within the church and outside of the church are exactly the same. They differ by 2%. The divorce rate inside the church and outside of the church differ with 2%. And you know what? Marriage in itself is something deeply spiritual. If you read Ephesians 5, it speaks about the mystery of the two becoming one. And then it speaks about the whole purpose of the husband loving the wife and the wife loving the husband. And then as you study Ephesians 5, you find out that the reason the husband loves the wife as Christ loves the church and the wife submits, honors the husband as the church does the Christ is because it is representative of something deeply spiritual. And that is God's relationship with us. Marriage is the physical manifestation, the representation of God's love for us. And marriage is meant to reflect that. The way the husband loves the wife is meant to reflect how God loves the church. And the way the wife loves the husband is meant to reflect how the church loves God. And within that, the act of choosing to love your wife and choosing to love your husband is deeply spiritual because it reflects something. And the purpose of that reflection is so that our kids that are born into our marriages may have an understanding of God's love for us. That they may have a healthy understanding of a Father God that loves His people unconditionally. And that's why God hates divorce. Not because He cannot forgive it, but because it does not reflect His unconditional love, His patience, His forgiveness towards us. And our children that are born into our families are meant to experience God's love through the way we love each other. And there are so many kids today and so many of you today that come from broken families, and I have to counsel many that struggle with the concept of a Father God because their father were abusive, or their father was absent, or their father betrayed their mother, and they struggle to grow up with a healthy understanding of what family and who God is because of what they experienced. One day my child is going to leave my home and she is going to look for a husband. The only vision, the only ideal that she will have when she leaves my home is what she saw in our family. And one day I hope she will leave my home looking for a husband like her father. My dream is that one day she will leave my home looking for a husband like me. Because she's either going to leave my home with a clear understanding of what a godly man should be, or she's going to leave my home without that. She's either going to leave my home looking for a husband like her father, or she's going to leave my home looking for a husband unlike her father. If she's looking for a husband unlike a father, there will be many options. And she will not know what to look for. So my prayer is one day that my children will leave my home with a clear picture of marriage and what marriage should be like. That they will have confidence in the institution and the reality of marriage. And that they will have a clear understanding of what a godly man and a godly husband are meant to be like. And that's why I'm sharing with you this evening. Because it starts with this process, this great adventure of finding your life partner. And I want to start with that. And I want to start with specifically the things that I would like to tell my children as they grow up. About finding the right man for their life. So if you are here, ladies, and you are single, where are you? Single ladies. Are you still looking for that godly man? Okay, I want you to come and sit here in front. Come quickly. If you're looking for that man, come sit here. I'm going to speak just to you. Come quickly, yes, lots of space. Quickly, a space. Come quickly. If you're looking, come, you're single, don't be shy. Don't be shy, you got to be noticed. I'm waiting. We have a whole evening. Quickly, quickly, quickly. There's lots of space. Come, I need an audience. There we go. Give them a hand. If you need some fatherly advice, I'm going to share in no particular order. There's no particular order. Just some good fatherly advice. Some of the things you were never told by your parents. I'm going to tell you that maybe for the first time. Some of the things I'm about to share, maybe your parents have already told you that. And that should be confirmation. I hope. But I'm going to be very straight, so forgive me for that. I don't have a lot of slides, so if you want to make notes or type or whatever you do, you're more than welcome. The first thing that I would like to tell my daughters, and I would like to tell you, is to guard your heart. Guard your heart. You know what? The Bible tells us that we have to be very careful about our affections. Because our heart influences everything in life. So I want to start off by telling my girls, Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You have to guard your heart. Because your heart will determine everything in your life. Guys, don't be worried. I'm going to share some things with you also as time goes on. This is applicable to both girls and boys, but more specifically, I'm going to speak to the ladies tonight. I want to say, do not date until you're in the right season. Okay, do not date until you're in the right season. There is a season for everything. And that applies to the guys also. If you feel uncomfortable, consider the season that you're in. Okay, it's so important that you don't feel pressured to date. You don't feel pressured to get into a relationship because everybody else does. It's important that you identify the right season for love. And we're going to get to how you do that. But if you feel uncomfortable in a relationship, consider the season that you're in. Maybe it's not your season for a relationship. Don't feel under pressure. Or maybe you're in a relationship with somebody and you sense that they are uncomfortable or you're uncomfortable in that relationship. Maybe you should consider that relationship and take a break. While you are single, and that's many of you here, I want you to make the most of this time. That's what I would tell my girls. While you are single, make the most of this time. Make the most of this time to grow in your relationship with God. Because ultimately, your relationship with a man will lead to a marriage that will lead to a reflection of that relationship within that marriage. So while you are single, make use of that time to grow in your relationship with God. Study the Word. Serve in church. As a matter of fact, the godly men that you are looking for, that's where they are. At church. Not in the pub. Not in the clubs. They are at church. So now while you're single, serve in church. The same goes for the guys. You know what? The girls that you're looking for, believe me, they are not in the pubs. Okay? They are right here. And the best place to get to know them is to serve in church because the girls will be serving in church. Go on missions. Get involved. Join Kitty's church. You know, you want to get married and have kids? Go practice on somebody else's kids. That's the great thing about Kitty's church. You can practice. And for the guys, you can see who has become ready. But don't date until you're in the right season. Have lots of friends. Spend time with guy friends and girlfriends so that you may know what you want. You need to know what you want in a man before you start dating men. You need to know what you're looking for. And it's so important to have lots of friends so that you can gauge what are the characteristics, the realistic characteristics of men, so that you can know exactly what you're looking for. And I want to make use of this opportunity maybe to give some scope for men. I want to ask you, my wife said I mustn't say what is the ideal man, but rather what are the man or the men or the guy or the husband that you are looking for? How does he look? What is his makeup? What is the ideal man that you are looking for? What is the man that you are looking for? And I'm looking for a volunteer, a single man. This is your opportunity. There's lots of single girls looking for an ideal man. Just anybody, here we go. This is Mr. Right. The man you have been looking for. All right? This is the man. Now, this man that you are looking for, ladies, who is he and what is he? What is the characteristics that you are looking for in this ideal man? I'm not saying the perfect man because there is no such thing. But the man that you're looking for, who is he? What is your name?
Dion.
Okay, what are we looking for? What are we looking for? Okay, let me help. He's got to be a godly man. Okay, he needs to be God-loving, passionate about the kingdom, sold out for Jesus, the church. He has good moral standards, biblical-based lifestyle, living a life of purity, kept himself pure, focused on God, dedicated to the word, to prayer. The kingdom is first in his life. He seeks it more than anything else. He's got priorities straightened out in his life. He's got good character, self-control, perseverance, self-motivated, hard-working. He knows what he wants in life and he's motivated to get it. He has got his priorities straight when it comes to his family. His wife and his kids are more important than his career. And the legacy that he leaves is what he's building on. This is a man that knows God and wants to go where God sends him. He sees his career as a platform to extend the kingdom and he wants to run for the kingdom. Is this helping? Anything else I can add? He's handsome, he's fit, he's healthy. Okay, all those nice things. But this is a godly man. My question is, are you the woman this man is looking for? If this is the man you are looking for, are you the woman he's searching for? Who is the girl that he's looking for? What is the characteristics that this godly man that is sorted out, passionate and ready for family and gone? What is the woman, who is the woman that he is looking for, Donkey Dion? You know what? You should not pursue a serious relationship until you are ready for marriage. So many people are looking for Mr. and Mrs. Right. If I can only find the right guy, then my life will be sorted out. And you know what? Marriage is a continuation of history. Marriage is a continuation of a pattern that is already in your life. And so many people still struggle with issues and sins and patterns in their own life, and they are waiting for the right person to change them. You are very quiet. I hate to break it to you, but commitment does not count that much. People make great commitments, but the thing that continues is the pattern. And in your own lives, it's important that you must understand that what you are struggling with now, you are probably going to take into your marriage. And therefore, while you are single, you have this opportunity to come before God and to deal with the patterns and the sins and the habits in your life, so that by the time you are married, you are not taking these things into your marriage. If you don't believe me, ask any good father. You know what? One day you have noticed my girls are very cute and beautiful. I tell my wife often, I don't know what I'm going to do with all the boys. But one day there are going to be many boys knocking at my door. I am not interested in his commitment towards my woman in my house. I'm not interested in the commitment he is going to make to Danielle. I'm not interested about the song that matches. They have the same song, they have the same colored eyes, they have the same interests. This guy will tell me he has found the woman of his dreams, and I'm going to listen to all these wonderful things that he's going to say about my daughter, and the only thing I'm going to ask is, so where do you come from? So tell me about your home. Tell me about your parents. Tell me about your background. Tell me about your history. Tell me about the patterns in your life. Tell me about your previous relationships, my boy. You want to date my girl. That's what. But tell me about your history. Tell me about the other girls in your life. How many other girls have you been dating? Was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? How long have you been dating them? And what have you been doing with them? Because that's far more important to me as a father than what you are saying to me now. I want to know, what is your history? Have you stepped over the line? Are you still a virgin? When did you lose your virginity? After the first or the second date? And how many times did you do it after you had your first girlfriend? And when last did you do it? Don't tell me this girl is going to change your life. Now that you've met my daughter, all of a sudden, you're going to change. I'm very sorry, boy. That's not good enough for me. Because it's not about your commitment. It is about your way of life. Your history, your pattern in your life that is going to continue into my girl's life. And that's far more important to me as a father than the commitment that you make. So I want to know what happened in your life. Don't date the guy just because he has potential. Everybody has potential. I'm looking for patterns. I'm a good father. I'm looking for patterns. I want to know where you came from. I want to know what you struggled with. I want to know how you overcame your struggles. Yes, we all made mistakes. And yes, you're not going to find a perfect guy. But I want to know about the mistakes, and I want to know how you got over them. I want to know about the mistakes that you've made, and I want to know about when you got to meet Jesus. And I want to know about how he changed your life. I want to know about the commitments that you made to him. And I want to know about the change in your life that took place. And yes, you might have made mistakes in the past, but I want to know, when is the date and the time that you met Jesus and the commitment that you made and what happened in your life? I want to know, and I want to see that there was a change. I want to know that you made a commitment, even though you are no longer virgin, even though you did mess around, but there was a time in your life that you met God and it changed your life completely, and you decided that never again will I do this. And I will make myself pure and keep myself pure, and I will follow God until the day I get married. You know what? That is a pattern. I'll accept that pattern. Because at least I can see over the past 2 years, you know what? Something has changed in your life. But I want to say this evening, you know what? Don't date the guy because he has potential. I counsel too many people who married people with potential and then they never changed. Other thing I would like to tell my daughters is, don't have a romantic relationship with an unbeliever. Don't have a relationship with an unbeliever. God makes it very clear throughout His words, and the reasons are almost limitless. But you know, one day, that man is going to become the head of the home. And he's going to lead the family, and you, my girl, are going to follow him. And where is he going to lead if he's not leading towards God? Because you got to follow that man. And what are you going to do when there's sin or conflict in your home? How are you going to deal with it? Based on what principles? How are you going to sort out the sin in the family if your man does not believe in God? Doesn't believe in absolute truth? Doesn't believe in the existence of sin? How are you going to teach your children about God if your husband denies the existence of God? You know, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14 says, "Do not be yoked with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Baal? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as it said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty." Don't date an unbeliever. It's not because I say so, it's because God says so, but the reasons for it is limitless. And I can go on the whole evening. But you know what? There are enough temptation when dating Christian men. I know, I've been one also. There are enough temptations dating a Christian man. You don't need somebody that has not the same values and ideas of purity and life than you do. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. And it is against the will of God. Now, about dating Christian men. Ladies, let me help you here. A date is not dating. And dating is not marriage. I'll say it again. A date is not dating, and dating is not marriage. Sometimes we are so afraid to go out with a guy that invites you for coffee. He is not asking you to marry. He is simply asking you for a date. Okay? He wants to talk to you. He wants to get to know you. If you say yes, you are not saying yes to marriage. You are simply building a relationship. Okay? The word says, guys, we must treat the ladies as our sisters. Okay? Can you have coffee with your sister? Girls, can you have coffee with your brother? Okay. Don't feel under pressure that if you say yes to a coffee date or a movie date, that you are committing yourself to a relationship. Okay? You are simply going on a date. If someone invites you, he's not asking you to marry. However, if he invites you to a candlelit dinner, that is something completely different. Now, guys, you got to listen to me very carefully. Everything you do communicates something about your intention. Ladies, interpret everything you do in relation to this. What are your interests? What is your motivation? Okay, they are relational beings. Okay, now, if they ask you for a coffee date, girls, that's not bad. If that pattern consists, you ask him, what is his intention? Ask him. You know what? As ladies, you have the privilege to choose. Men initiate, ladies respond. Okay? It works like that in nature. Have you seen the little birds in springtime? The male birds, they do this. Okay? And then they... Okay? And the lady birds, what do? They sit on the twigs and they go... You know? And one male passes the next, and they pick. It's your privilege. Laat hulle pronk. Let them show their feathers. Okay? You have the privilege to choose. They initiate, you respond. Okay? Let them ask you for coffee. Let them ask you to go to the movies. If they ask you for a candlelit dinner, you ask him, excuse me, sir, what is your intention? And then you tell him whether you're interested or not. Don't keep the guy on a line. Just tell him. So guys, remember, everything you do communicates something. Okay? Make your intention clear, because the girl is going to ask you, what is your intention? And when she asks you, you must be very clear about your intention. And ladies, don't keep the guy on a string either. If you don't like him, tell him now. Or if you think this is only going to be friendship, and if you're unsure about his intention, then please ask him the question. What is your intention in inviting me for coffee every second day for the past 2 months? And paying for it. Ask him. Don't wait 2 months before you tell him, you know, Pity, actually, you are not what I'm looking for. Just tell him as soon as you know. You know, Pity, you're a great friend. I hope that's all that you have in mind. You are going to crush his heart. But that's okay. That's life. I've been through that many times. That's okay. But it's not going to hurt less 2 months later. Because when this guy already have your picture on his wall framed, because you said yes for 3 coffee dates in a row, just, if you're not sure, ask him. And if you're not interested, then tell him it's your privilege. Okay? Guys, take it like a man. And respect the answer. Okay? Respect the answer. Please. Don't tell her God told you that she is your wife. Okay? Don't do that. Girls, if he does, then ask him, how did God tell you that? And then, unless the same angel appears to you, tell him he's got to do better than that. Okay? So guys, don't go that route. Because she's going to say she'll go back and pray about it herself. And she'll see you again after God spoke to her. And you might wait a long time. So you'll have to try harder than that. And if you want to date one of my girls, you better pray about it beforehand. And you better get a word from God, otherwise I'm going to catch you out. But that's just for my girls. So yes, you should pray about it, but don't tell the girl about it. If you are serious about pursuing her. But you don't have to pray about getting to know girls, okay? You don't need to do that. So I'm not saying don't pray about your life partner. Of course you should pray about it. But don't use that as leverage to convince her that you are the man. Okay? And guys, if she says no, it's not because of her lack of faith or her inability to hear from God. It's normally yours. So move on. Girls, don't get spiritually manipulated. Okay? If you have made the commitment to be his main squeeze. Okay? Okay, his only squeeze. Whatever you call it these days. Okay? If you are in a relationship and he's not wearing one of these, you are not married. At any time, you can step out of the relationship, even if it is a Christian. Especially if it's a Christian. Okay, don't feel you are committing yourself for life because you are committing to a relationship. You don't have to know that this is your husband before you say yes to a relationship. You need to at least know that this guy has the potential. But you don't have to be 100% sure. That is the beauty of dating, of courtship, whatever you want to call it. Okay? You have the opportunity to test the guy, to get to know him, to seek out the patterns in his life, to test his loyalty towards you, to see what his character is made of. Okay? So you have the opportunity to grow. Don't date people for the sake of dating. At least date them if they have potential, but don't feel under pressure that you're committing yourself for life. At any time in a relationship when you feel uncomfortable, you can get out. Because Christian dating is not Christian marriage. Okay? You have to get to know the guy before you get engaged. Okay? If you're one of my daughters, you will date the guy at least 2 years. Because it takes time to get to know somebody. But anyway, if you feel uncomfortable, step out. If you're unsure, he has to up his game. If you are uncomfortable or unsure, the guy has to up his game. If he cannot, then dump him. Okay? He has to up his game. If you are uncomfortable, if you are unsure, he has to convince you otherwise. Before you say, yes, I'll marry you. And if he cannot do that and you're still uncomfortable and still unsure, then get out of the relationship. Don't settle for second best. But also be realistic. Okay? If you don't like facial hair, you know, they all have them eventually. Be realistic, but don't settle for second best. Okay? Date one guy at a time. Okay? Date one guy at a time. Guys, if you go on a date, the look and feel, I mean, the look and smell is important. Okay? It's important that you wash, you put on deodorant, you brush your teeth, you put on clean clothes. Okay, you got to win the lady's heart. Okay? But remember, ladies, he is putting his best foot forward. First impressions are very important. But they're only smoke screens and mirrors. That's why my girls will date you 2 years. Okay, but guys, it's very important. Okay, also the place where you date. Don't just take the girl to movies and concerts where you have to scream at each other or can't talk. Okay, if you want to get to know somebody, talk to them. All right? So don't just go to concerts where you have to scream at each other. That's not a good way to start any relationship. Or to movies where you don't talk, you want to talk. Girls, dress modestly. Okay? The bait you use will determine the catch The bait you use will determine the catch. Okay, so dress modestly. Okay? I'm not going to say anything more about that. Self-explanatory. And if you're going, go to the right kind of place for a date. Many good intentions have been forgotten because the temptation or the opportunity was too great. Don't take your girl on a weekend away in a cabin in the mountains, all alone. You do that with a group of friends. Don't spend the night in the same bed. Girls, don't go there. Okay, if you know he's taking you on a date to somewhere on a weekend, you better make sure there's people coming with. Okay, find out where we're going to stay. Oh, we're going to stay in a cabin. How many bedrooms are in the cabin? One. Well, maybe we must invite my mother along. You know, you got to ask yourself, am I doing anything to encourage sexual behavior? Am I doing anything that encourages sexual behavior or desire? Don't engage in any impure contact like heavy panting and all those things. Don't go there. Okay? Believe me, the greatest intentions go out of the window. The question is not how far is too far. It's not how far can I go, but rather when should I start? So many people ask us, how far is too far? That's the wrong question. The question you need to ask yourself is, when should I start? And the answer to that is only after you're married. So when is staying in the same room, in the same bed, alone too far before you're married? That's the privilege of being married. You don't need to go anywhere when it's 11 o'clock. You can stay right there. But you got to wait for that. Okay, 12 o'clock. Whatever your curfew may be. You know, when is it too far? Postpone the physical component as long as possible. Postpone the physical component as long as possible. Kissing is up to you. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what you should or shouldn't do, but I will tell you this. Postpone physical part of your relationship as long as possible. Set boundaries before you engage in this relationship. At the beginning, you talk to your boy, your man, and you talk about boundaries, and you decide together what the boundaries will be. The further away from the real thing, the better. Okay? If the juices flow, you've gone too far. If you don't know what that means, you are safe. Okay? But you determine the boundaries together, and if he can't stick to it, if he can't stick to the boundaries that you have decided, he is disrespecting you. He is disrespecting you. And if he continues, then dump him. It's the wrong pattern. You set the boundaries, you stick to it. If he pushes it, he's disrespecting you. If you've crossed your boundary, it means you need accountability, and it means you need stricter boundaries. You take it a level back. If you said no friends kissing and you're doing friends kissing, you go back to the peck on the cheek. Does it make sense? And if you started French kissing when you said we're only going to kiss on the cheek, then you need accountability because there is a tendency that needs to be protected. Okay? Strict boundaries are good. It's a test to see if he honors you. I mean, what is he after? Is he after you or something else? It's a good test to see if he respects and values you. How valuable are you to him? I mean, are you really that valuable that he is willing to wait? I mean, are you worth waiting for? Ask Jacob. I mean, he waited 14 years. That was a long time. But if he really values you, if he really respects you, he will wait. So let him wait. Take your time. Like I said, my daughters will date the guy for 2 years, and by the Lord's mercy, you will need more than counseling if the boundaries are overstepped. But anyway, I will set the boundaries for them anyway. But it takes time to get to know someone. You need to ask yourself, does he lead spiritually? Does the guy lead spiritually? And can you follow him? Ladies, don't marry a guy that is less spiritual mature than yourself. Don't marry a guy that is less spiritual mature than yourself. Marry somebody that is spiritually more mature and that can lead you and your family in the purposes of God. Okay, save yourself a lot of heartache and trouble. Get a man that is spiritually mature and can lead. And make sure where he leads that you are able to follow him. That you are able to follow him. If you find a guy that is not spiritually mature, then give him some time to grow up. Make sure you're going in the same direction. Pastor Fritz preached about that. Make sure that you can help him to get there. Remember, you are going to follow. You're going to help. You're going to support this guy. You're going to make sure that you know where he's going and that he can get there and that you are able to help him to get there. Because one day that is going to be your role, is to help your man to get where he needs to get. Make sure that he's tough enough to handle hardships. Take responsibility. Make sure that he does not bend under pressure. You got to check the guy out. You got to test him. You got to see how he handles pressure, how he takes responsibility, whether he has self-control and whether he has the capacity to actually face hardship and overcome it. Because if he can't, he's most probably looking for a mother. And you don't want to be a mother. Yet. Okay? If the guy cannot stand up, if he cannot deal with pressure, if he cannot lead, then he's not ready. Then either give him some time or find someone else. My advice to my daughter. Are you honoring God together? I mean, are your relationship leading you closer to God or is it leading you away from God? You must remember these patterns are going to continue. Don't think the day you say, I do, all of a sudden this guy is going to become this great and awesome spiritual leader and is going to take his role in leading you spiritually. It seldom happens. It can happen. But I've counseled enough people to realize it doesn't always. So does your relationship lead you closer to God? Are you honoring God together or is he isolating you? Is this man isolating you from your friends, your Christian friends? That should be a clear warning sign. Have an open relationship. Have as many people possible speak into your relationship while you're still dating. Have so many friends over and do stuff with your friends and with your family. Have as many people possible have input into your relationship while you're dating, because when you're married is a private issue. By But while you are dating, it must be as public as possible so that your friends, your family, the people that love you, that know you, can speak into your life. Because love is blind. Like Ziggy Oblander says, it's not just blind. Now you won't know her, but anyway, it's deaf, dumb, and stupid. But the people around you, eyes are wide open and they can see. They can see and they know and they love you and they can see this gentleman and they can see who he is and what he does and where he comes from, and they identify things far more easily. When we are in love, you know what? We hope all things, wish all things, believe all things, and we see nothing. And we cover all things, and that's beautiful. But that's why you need your Christian friends. You know what? If all your Christian friends start to get worried, you should be very worried. I've known people that, you know, has been dating somebody and then they start to change their circle of friends. Because all of a sudden, everybody that starts to doubt this guy no longer are a friend. So be careful of that if you see that in your friend's life. You know what? Don't be afraid if you're a friend to speak. But if your friends are uncomfortable, you know what? You should be careful. If you are dating, get a married couple to mentor you. I spoke to the families earlier. If you are dating, why don't you approach a married couple and ask them just to have input in your life? Just have coffee with them and share with them regularly what's going on in your life. What a blessing to have somebody from the outside that actually have experience. If your family is close by, you can do it with your own family. But make sure the guy is considerate and gentle. And remember, he's putting his best foot forward. If you're uncomfortable with the way that he speaks to you now, then you must get out. Because he's putting his best foot forward now. If you're not comfortable with the way he treats you, if you're not comfortable with the way he speaks, if you're not comfortable with the way he deals with his anger now, while he is dating you, it is time to reconsider. Because he is putting his best foot forward. If he is still flirting with other girls, or struggling with porn, get out. Wrong pattern. Guys, if you are dating and you're still struggling with porn, first sort out your life. Don't think when you're married, that issue is going to disappear. Wrong pattern. So girls, if you find that out, address the issue. Give the guy some time. But don't take chances. That pattern is not going to stop the day you say, I do. Give the guy a break. Let him sort out his life. And when he is ready, we can talk again. Make sure he gets a different pattern before you continue in that relationship. Character counts. Character counts more than anything. Make sure you are willing to marry the guy just the way he is. You must make sure that you can marry the guy just the way he is. Don't marry him with an idea that he can change or he will change. Most people do not change so easily. So if you're not willing to marry the guy the way he is right now, with all his issues and hang-ups and all the little quirky things that he does, if you're not willing to deal with it as it is right now, then don't marry him. Okay? Character counts. How valuable are you to him? Are you his treasure, and can he deal with a father like me? Because that is what I will tell my daughters. And if this guy really loves my daughters, they will do whatever it takes to sort themselves out and to convince my daughter and to convince me, for crying out loud. But if he can't deal with me, then you know what? He's not going to get my daughter. And then lastly, you know what? I just want to put this in. Sex is not just physical. I shared it Wednesday evening and I was alarmed to see how many people were uncomfortable. Too many. So I'm sharing it quickly again. Sex is not just physical. The world would like to teach and to tell us that sex is just physical. It's something you do as an expression of your emotions. You do it and then you move on and you do it again and you move on. And it has no effect on you. It's simply a physical expression of emotion and nothing more than that. Well, that is a lie. Sex is deeply spiritual. It's very fragile and yet powerful. Something that God gave to bring a unity between man and woman in soul, in spirit, and in flesh. It's meant to be like a super glue that bounds us together in a place of absolute intimacy, trust, without shame or fear, and absolute fulfillment of each other without the need to cover ourselves up. And there's something very powerful that takes place within our souls and spirit when we unite in sex. And we can see that when we counsel people, you know what, if sex was only physical, you know what, why would children that suffer sexual abuse struggle with the consequences far into adulthood? Because something happened there that was far more than just a physical act. That's the difference between being slapped by a bully and being raped by a bully. It's not just physical. There's something deeply spiritual that takes place. And the world will come to try and to steal and to lie about the power of sex and the spiritual implication of that. And everything around us communicates that that is something that we do as an expression of emotion, something that we do for fun, that is recreational even in this time. You meet somebody and on the first date you go to bed. And it doesn't mean anything, except if it was good or bad. But that is a lie. And if you treat it that way as simply physical, you will hurt yourself and later on your marriage partner. You know, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18 says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. You know what? In sex we become one. And when we become one, it is something deep inside of us. It's not on the outside of us. It's something that happens deep inside. And that's for when the Word of God speaks about sexual sin, it says, listen, you must flee from it because like other sins, it is not on the outside, but it is in the inside. And therefore, you've got to be very diligent to flee from it. Not because God cannot forgive you. Not because it is such a great sin that you cannot be restored or forgiven, but because it will hurt you deeply than any other sin. You will hurt yourself, and the consequences of that will continue far beyond the mere reality of the act. And therefore, God warns us and encourages us to run away. Because you will hurt yourself at the deepest level possible. And the consequences will be ongoing. It's meant to be a super glue that binds husband and wife together forever. But every time we do this over and over again, you know what? Within ourselves, we become dumb, numb. In our capacity to connect. And one day you're going to be married, and ladies, you're going to be numb. And when you meet your husband, you're going to be struggling to awaken that intimacy. And guys, you're going to struggle to connect with your wife intimately. Because something within you have been broken, watered down. And therefore God warns us. If you treat it only as a simple physical thing, you will hurt yourself and later on you will hurt your marriage partner. But if you have gone too far, God is very forgiving. That's why He sent His Son. You know, in 1 John 1 verse 9, we read that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify of all unrighteousness. But you have to determine this pattern, and if there's in any area in your life that is so important. If a guy comes to you and he has had many sexual relationships, and he comes to you and he says, now that I have met you, I am going to change. That commitment means very little. You want to see a pattern. You want to see a pattern of a man that made a commitment to live a life of purity. That is honoring God with his body and is honoring you with his and respecting yours. And maybe you are sitting here tonight and you have already stepped over the line. You know what? That's why 1 John 1 verse 9 is there. God says He is faithful to forgive us if we confess our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But you've got to decide what is the history, the legacy, the pattern that you are going to continue with into your next relationship. You are the one that decides what is this pattern that is going to continue in your life. And it doesn't matter what sin it is, but you determine that. You determine the story that you want to tell to the person that you meet. You got to determine it tonight. If you haven't already determined it, you have to do it tonight. And if you already made a mistake, you know what? You can come to God tonight and you can say, God, I am sorry about this pattern in my life. But God, I bring it to you. I confess it to you, God. And I pray that you will not just forgive me, God, but that you will set me free. And that tonight, God, I'm going to make a commitment to honor you, to honor my wife, to be, to honor my body before you. And God, tonight I'm going to make a commitment that I'm never, ever again going to step over the line, but I'm going to live a life of purity. So that one day, you know what, you're going to have a father ask you the question and you can say, sir, there was a time in my life that I did not know God. And I pursued my own desires and I made terrible mistakes. But there was a time when I met with God and I made a commitment. And I decided from that day on, I'm never ever again gonna dishonor God. And dishonor myself and dishonor my wife. And I'm going to live a life from purity. And for the past 5 years or 2 years, I've been living a life of purity. That is a pattern that I would like to see come into the life of my daughters. And maybe you've made a mistake tonight. You have the opportunity to decide the story that you're going to tell the person that you meet. You have an opportunity to determine the pattern that is going to continue, because marriage is a continuation of history. Your presence today, the decisions that you make today, the commitments that you make today will become your history. And that history will determine your future. So if you are here tonight, it's not to condemn you, but to give you an opportunity to make a decision. To follow God. So that you can have a legacy. You have to decide now ahead of time how you're going to honor God with your body. Honor your life partner with your body. What is the story that you're going to present your ideal life partner? And then I want to conclude by this simple question again. Are you becoming the person that you are looking for? Are you becoming the person that he or she is looking for? that ideal person, that person that you are looking for, that person that you are dreaming about, that person that you're hoping to meet one day, that person that follows God with all his heart, that kept himself pure, that is passionate about the kingdom, that seeks God with all his heart, puts the kingdom first. Are you becoming that person that he would be looking for? And that is the question that we need to ask ourselves if we are still single. And you know what? If there's still issues in your life and patterns and sins that you're struggling with, you have the opportunity now to change, to ask God to come and set you free and to start a pattern that will continue, that will lead you to that partner that you are looking for. I remember in my life, I was 27 when I met my wife. I was 27 and I was running away from relationships because I wanted a break. I had to sort myself out. And in taking a break, I ran into my wife on a tropical island called Madagascar. A great story. Some of you know the story. But it was so amazing when I realized as I was preparing myself to become the man that God wanted me to be, I ran into the woman he had for me. But I want to encourage you, while you're still single, become that man or that woman that you're looking for, is looking for. To honor God with your body, to date with your life partner in mind, to practice self-control, and to live in purity. I want us to pray as we commit ourselves this evening to become that person. Father, I want to thank you for your love for us. God, I want to thank you that you have instituted marriage to be an awesome experience of love, an expression of intimacy and a knowing of you, God. And Lord, I want to thank you for these people. Lord, I want to thank you that they represent your children, your legacy. And Lord, I want to bring each and every person here to you tonight, God, as we want to invest in your purposes, but also, God, fulfill your desire. God, as I look at these people, Lord, they represent your kingdom, Lord. They present your children, Lord. They represent your legacy, Father. And if I look at the stats, God, and I see our marriages are failing inside and outside of church, marriages that are meant to reflect your love for us and your commitment towards us, marriages are meant to reflect that people can see in the way we love each other that you are real. The world has heard so many sermons, Father, but they want to see it. And they've lost faith in the institution of marriage because it's failing even within the church. And God, I cannot imagine what it reflects and what it means when people look at our marriages, our Christian marriages, and see it failing. It doesn't reflect you, God. It doesn't reflect your heart and your love, God. And I want to pray, Lord, for each and every person here, God, that is still single. Your children, God, your legacy, God, I want to pray, Father, that they will grow up, Lord, in their spirituality, in their relationship with you, in their purity, in their maturity, God. I pray, God, that you will prepare wives and husbands that will love each other as they love you, God, that will come together with a history of purity, a history of commitment, a history of love, a history, God, that will continue in their marriage so that their children, God, can grow up in an environment where they are not afraid. Where they grow up in an environment where they know how much God loves His people because they see in their father how much He loves their mother. And where they know how much we love you as they see how their mother loves their father. Lord, I want to bring these people and I want to bring these lives, God, before you, Lord. I want to bring the histories. God, I pray, God, that you will come and tonight, Lord, change history. As we come before you, Lord, and ask for forgiveness, ask for deliverance, as we make commitments, Father, to follow you in all purity. God, I pray for new patterns to be established. Patterns of purity, of self-control, of honesty. Patterns of godliness, of integrity, of honor, of love, of faithfulness. And as we are here this morning, this evening, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity before God to determine your history right now, tonight. That you will make a choice to live your life in such a way that brings honor to God. To live your life in such a way that will bring honor to your future husband and wife. To live your life in such a way that the patterns that are being established in this day will continue into your marriage, and from your marriage into your children, and from them into their children, that your legacy will continue. Because marriage is meant to reflect God's love for us, and our kids are meant to grow up in that environment. But Father, I want to pray for every heart here today, Lord. I want to pray for that commitment. And if you are here this evening and you have patterns that you need to deal with, if there are things in your life that you know that you are struggling with, I want to give you an opportunity tonight just to connect with God and to bring those things before God. But you have to decide tonight what is the history that you are going to tell somebody else. And Father, I want to bring every heart here tonight, Lord, and I want to pray, God, for a commitment to honor you, God, in the things that we do and the things that we say and the way we date and the way we love and the way we relate. God, I pray for a new pattern in your church. God, I pray for a change in the statistics. God, I pray for marriages that works, that continuously works. And not just works, God, but honors you, God, reflects you in everything, God. And I pray, God, that that reflection of your love will start tonight in the hearts of men and women right here. And if that is you tonight, I want you to respond to God. If you know you need to make a commitment tonight, maybe you've done it before, maybe you need to make it again, maybe you have failed, God is giving you an opportunity tonight to start all over. And if that is you tonight, I just want you to stand. If you're committing yourself tonight to live a life that will honor Him in the way you relate to one another, I want to give you an opportunity to make that commitment. And I want to ask you to be bold just to stand. If you're going to live your life in such a way to honor God through the way you relate to one another, relate to your friends, relate to your future husband, to your future wife, if you're going to live a life that is going to bring honor to God through the way you live in purity, maybe you're here and you've made mistakes before, but God has given you an opportunity tonight to come before Him to say, Lord, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry for dishonoring you, God. I'm sorry for dishonoring myself, God. I'm sorry, God, for dishonoring my husband, my wife, God, that you are preparing for me, God. But tonight, God, I pray that you will set me free from the pattern in my life, God, the sin, God, the shame, God, the guilt, God. God, I want to start all over again, God. I want to start a new pattern in my life, God. A pattern, God, that is going to honor you, God. That is going to honor my wife, my husband, God. I want to bring a legacy into my marriage, God, that is going to continue into my children, God. God, I want to bring this life, my own life, before you, God. And I want to commit myself tonight. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to respond. And as you are standing, some of you need to repent. Some of you need to bring the patterns in your life that you're struggling with. It doesn't have to be sexual. But you know the things in your life that are continuing. And I want you, as you are standing here, I just want you to bring those things before God. Just as you're standing in your own heart, just bring those things before Him and say, God, here I am, God. I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry for what I've done, Lord. And God, I pray that you will come and set me free in Jesus' name, God. I thank you that your blood is sufficient. Your blood is sufficient, God, to cleanse me once and for all. And God, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come into these lives, Lord, as they bring their sin before you, God, and the patterns in their life, God. I pray, Lord, that you will come and fill them with yourself, God, with your character, with godliness, God. Lord, I pray for the people, Lord, that you have placed in this place tonight to be healed, to be restored, to be set free, God. Lord, I pray, God, for godly men and women. Lord, I pray for every person here, Lord, that they may reflect your heart in the way we relate to each other. And there's somebody specific, a group of people that specifically I want to pray. Maybe you are here and you are sensing there are patterns in your life that you have seen in your family. There are patterns in your family that you're seeing is manifesting in your life. And you're afraid about these patterns that you have noticed in your family that are continuing in your life. If that is you tonight, I want to pray with you because we want to set you free from these patterns. If that is you, I want you to quickly come forward. You know who you are, but you know these patterns that you're struggling with. These are things that you've seen in your parents. And you are afraid. You are afraid that these things are going to continue into your marriage. And even though you hate these things with all your heart, you see it still in your life. And we want to set you free. God wants to set you free. God wants to set you free tonight of all these things that you see is continuing in your life. Because it's going to stop here tonight. It's not going to continue. And we're going to ask God to set you free once and for all. And I just want some counselors to help us as these people come forward. And they're going to pray with you and you're simply going to bring these things to them. You're going to bring these patterns before the counselor. You're going to name them and they're going to pray with you. They're going to pray with you as you come to God and you're going to say, God, Lord, I bring this sin before you, God. I bring this pattern before you, God. I bring this thing that I'm so afraid of, God, that I see in my family, God, and that I'm so afraid is going to continue, Lord. I just want to bring it before you, God, and I pray that you will set me free, God. I pray, Father, that you will set my family free once and for all. So let's just quickly do that. If that is you, we're going to set you. We're going to trust God to set you free. And we're going to see that deliverance tonight. I really believe that. As you put out your faith and you ask God, God is going to set you free. And then I want to ask you to do something. After we prayed, don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. I want to encourage you. I want you to take these patterns in your life that you know that you need to change before you can get married. I want you to take these patterns and these struggles and these sins in your life, whatever it might be, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. You know, the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit is he's called our mentor, our counselor. He's the one that is meant to empower us to impart everything that we have received into somebody else, but more powerfully also to be our own mentor. And I want you to take that thing, one thing at a time. Don't do too many, if you have many. But take one thing at a time. And every morning, you wake up and you ask the Holy Spirit to mentor you to change. That He will come alongside you to help you to be free. And if it's your anger, you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I thank you for your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you have become my mentor. And I pray that you will help me, that you will mentor me to free me from this pattern of anger that I see within myself. Lord, and I pray that every day as I walk through life and face life, that you will mentor me and that you will change me. And I guarantee you, if you ask the Holy Spirit every day to walk this road with you in a mentoring relationship, He will speak to you, He will change you, you will hear God's voice more than ever before, and you will be able to apply the things. Just do what He tells you when He speaks to you. And He will come and change your life. He will mentor you to become the man and the woman that He wants you to be. Amen? All right. Counselors, let's pray.